It needs to be a change. Amen. In your life, because you're not a fool for Christ, you can be just a fool.
Amen.
And that's not good. We don't want that. We really want God to bless every aspect. I said a man named Jed. Well, that's what he was. A man named Jed. We know him as Solomon, but if you look at your Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, David comforted Bathsheba's wife, went in with her, lay with her, she bare a son, and called his name Solomon. That's what David called his son, called Solomon. And the Lord loved him, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet. He called his name Jedediah, because of the Lord. Well, obviously, there was a change. I see a massive change there. He started off being called Solomon, which is of peace. And turned out to be called Jedediah, which is loved of the Lord.
Yeah.
And let's just ask God tonight, as we look at the Word of God. I love Tuesday night at camp, at revival meetings. God usually works in strange ways on Tuesday night. You know what? So many people are here. Some of the boys are starting to realize, wow, they do got some things they really need to work on in their life. A lot of pride, a lot of arrogancy, a lot of things. Some of the girls that are coming here, from your homes. Many of us have come from, have a background, baggage. When we get here, we start listening to the Word of God, and we start realizing, you know what? There's some things in my life that aren't right. Need to change. Maybe some people in this room, this very room tonight, your name has never been changed. You've always been of Adam. You're on earth, you're born, your mom and dad, you've never been born of God. There needs to be a change. And I hope God starts to work in you. Some of you young men, some of you young boys are here, some of you young girls are here. God, you, as a young man, Solomon met the Lord. God changed his name. I think he did. I want to pray, and I want to ask God to be our teacher tonight. Because even if he's not, it'll never happen. Nothing will happen. Nothing will move. But God can shake people. He shook me 26 years ago. After 12 vehicle accidents, head-on collisions with cars. I got a massive story. He scared me. I began to realize death happens so fast. You know, you might not make it out of this camp. I'm trying to scare you. I'm just being real. Job's out there playing football. Playing with his mates. Next minute he's on his back and can't hardly breathe. Things happen. They don't happen, pretty fast. So I want to ask God tonight to minister to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you would bless in a miraculous way tonight in our midst. And not just tonight, but we're praying this week. You would choose out men and women. Give them a new name. And write their name down in glory. We're talking about godly lives. That's what we want. And I pray that you take some of the foolishness out of us tonight through the Word of God. May you get a hold of us as we go into some of the life. Silent, a little bit of some other people. I pray, God, you would manifest yourself in a mighty way here. The Spirit of God would come in and you would change people's lives. And you will not walk out of here the same. Right. I'm asking in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're looking at a man named Jed. Well, some of the backgrounds in our life are rough. I told you a little bit about my man. I told you a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more. But we all have a background. We do. We come from strange places. Some of the kids have been brought up in homes where your mom and dad are not saved. And you have been already exposed to things you shouldn't have been exposed to. Sex and drugs and rock and roll and all that. And we all do have a background. All the backgrounds, though, that you may come from are not all our fault. Some of the things that happened in your life that wasn't all your fault. Some of the changes that need to be made. You were all born on planet Earth a sinner. There's no question about that. Solomon was no exception. He was a lost man. Every person who comes into the world is lost. They've got some background. Needs to get taken care of. Not even God's son. In John chapter 9, the Bible says Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, if you consider this man or his parents that he was born blind? How could a guy sin before he was even born?
Yeah.
Kind of a strange question, wasn't it? They said, too, and this guy did something in his past before it came to, you know, reincarnation or something. They believe this guy did something before he was even born that he sinned. Or was it his parents? And the Lord set him straight. He said, no, not this man has sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest, and God wants to do work in our lives. And no one needs to stay in their past.
Yeah.
In fact, God wants us all of us here, to change. He's looking for a change in you this week.
Amen.
No matter who you are, how old you are, how young you are, God wants, He don't want any of us to stay the same. He's always wanting us to change and grow. And become godly. And as you look at your Bible studies, as we go over these devotions, you're going to read the Word of God, you're going to say, wow, that spoke to me. What did that say? I enjoy doing devotions. Well, some of these young men like Michael, Liam, some of these young men in the class that were thinking very clearly about some of these devotions. They were hearing the Word of God. It was speaking to them. It was, and the genie was there too. God was speaking to his heart, man. And it was so wonderful. Well, anyways, God gave Solomon a name, didn't he? Solomon didn't pick that name. You know what? It had to come from God. God did it. We saw back there in, I've never done one before, but the Bible says that in 2 Samuel 12:25, that the Lord said by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah. You know what? If you don't have God's name, you're not his son, and you're not his daughter. I hate to tell you. Just because you were born into a Catholic family or a religious family, and you were christened, or whatever, and they said, now you're a Christian, you're not, until you receive Christ, and He gives you, well, you write your name down in glory.
Amen.
You need a new name. And I love this. Solomon, to me, he's a picture of a guy who was born, and his daddy gave him a name. My dad gave me Daniel, but I hated my name. Growing up, man, as a teenager, Daniel, that sounded like, you know, was too formal. I like Danny, or Dano, or something like that. It wasn't until I got saved. If I finally met the Lord one day, after sailing around the globe, I, you know, seven seas and all that, or board of the crest of the wave and all that, and in the United States Navy, and I met the Lord over in the Philippines, of all places. The Lord had been trying to get my attention, though. I took so many hard knocks. So many. You don't need to do that. He just wants to touch you. This week, while you're at camp, He just wants to get to you with His Word. That's how He does it.
Yep.
He gets to us with His Word. The Word speaks to your heart. You know it's true. And then true confession is just agreeing with God. Agree with God this week. Let Him change you. And you know what happened? God gave me a new name. My name was written down in glory. Then I got married. My wife said, Danny, yeah, your name's Daniel. I like that. And I said, Daniel, that's my new man. I'll go with that. Daniel, who's Daniel? I've never read about Daniel. I thought maybe the lion's den. Lions shut their mouth. Great song tonight. This guy was a hero. I said, wow, I was named after a hero. That is so cool. And I love it. God gave me a brand new name, and I began to rejoice in my name. Hallelujah. Well, God gave him. I believe Solomon, well, the Bible says that Solomon became a believer. And we know he became a believer because people don't love the Lord until they become believers. You might say you do, but you know what? God is loving if you don't have God. You don't have, you don't even know what love really is.
Right.
Usually it's selfish.
Yeah.
Love on the street is not love. Usually it's lust. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here's one of his commandments. This is his commandment, that we should believe. Did you know that was a commandment?
Amen.
It's a commandment of Almighty God that you believe on his son. Amen. You believe on his name. On his son, Jesus Christ. That is a commandment. He told us to do it. And to love one another as He gave us a commandment. Did you know that it was a commandment for God? You know what? If you violate that commandment, you violated the worst one.
Yeah.
And not just the Ten Commandments. Solomon had a rough background. We know all that. I mean, how would you like to know that, you know, your parents, your dad, committed adultery and then ended up not only taking your mom, seducing your mother, and then killing her first husband so that he could have her, and you were born out of that. It's a horrible background. But you know what? Some of us in this room have that background, except for probably the murderer. Some that today, I don't know what, 65% of marriage ended up in divorce. So someone else is getting married, now you got two moms and three dads, and
yeah.
Oh man, cousins all over, you don't even know who your brothers are. The world has really gone wacko. Well, it wasn't a whole lot different back then. Solomon, we can relate to Solomon. He was just like us. He came up with a man of rough background. And preachers have been telling us about David. Some of the things, you know, David was a godly man. But David was also a soldier. Shed a lot of blood. David sinned, man. David sinned. You know what's great thing about the Bible? The truth of it is the great thing. It didn't just leave that part out.
Yeah.
When God talked about men, he told the truth about it. That's God. Tells the truth. He didn't leave all the bad parts out. Some fancy books about religion, no, all talk glossy and fanciful. Now, the Bible is real. It leaves in all the details because it's telling the truth.
Man.
Tell the truth about you. Tell the truth about me. Just like Solomon. Solomon got a new name, and I'm thrilled with that. He had a rough background. Maybe some of you kids here come from a rough background. Things have been tough. And, you know, you don't go to church, I don't know. Things have been just hard. You never really given your heart to the Lord. Like I said, I don't do these things. The first time I've ever done a talk all my life. So bear with me. Let God speak to you somehow through us. Solomon became great because, well, he became godly. He became like God. That's what being godly is. Telling the truth. Doing right. Giving. Loving. Serving. He became a godly man. And tell you what, God used him to build one of the greatest temples in the world. It's glorious. You should read the story of the temple that he made. Fascinating. He was converted. We know that because he loved God. And he became a great man. So we're talking about the miracle of a godly life. First Kings 3:15, the Bible says, Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He had been talking, or he had been having a dream, talking to the Lord. Remember when he had asked the Lord said, what do you want? And he said, wisdom. Wisdom to know how to go in and come out. And he woke up in a dream, and he came to Jerusalem. He stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings, and he offered peace offerings, and he made a feast hall service. In other words, Solomon started worshiping the Lord. He made offered sacrifice, folks. He offered, in some cases, 12,000 oxen and ass and lambs in a day. But just offering up 1,000 sacrifices, the guy was whole-hearted from the Lord. Massive sacrifice. And that was when his heart was right with God. And he was doing tremendous things. Let's not forget that. Yeah, we know Solomon had 700 wives and 300 cucumbers and all that stuff. What the thing is, he was a great man, an awesome man for God. Fell apart at the end, through his life. And then he came back. We're going to hopefully get to that part. I want to talk to you about him, how great he was, a great man.
Man.
You don't just, look, the guy got 666 talents. In words, he didn't ask for money. Lord said, what would you like? He said, that I might have wisdom to know how to come in and go out. And to lead these people. He didn't say, yeah, I'd like a genie that'll give me 3 wishes. And a lot of girls and all this stuff. And long life. And whipping up all my enemies. No, he said, that's not wisdom. And the Lord was so blessed with that. He didn't just give him wisdom. He gave him riches too. His daily, was it daily? 666 talents? One talent, folks, is like, I don't know, 12,000 pounds? Massive amount of money. He was rich. He was building a massive temple for the Lord. He really was a man on fire for God in his early days. Anyways, things went wrong though. He went astray. Special music from the back. Great to have kids in service.
Let's stay here, man. That's fun. Okay, I want to tell you a story about a godly life, but the guy who just came through the ringer. The story is about a man who was born in Northern Ireland, and his name was William Mullen. And I came across this guy's testimony, and he so much reminded me of what we're talking about that I wanted to share with you a godly life. But he reminded me of me. I came through a pretty rough life, very poor growing up, and you know, I was religious, never missed Mass, but I didn't know the Lord either. And because of that, I got carried around by fools, and I joined them, became a fool. Not a fool with Christ, became a fool. Not learning from my mom and dad. I remember my father trying to tell me, son, now don't run around with those people. Next thing you know, I'm running around with those people. Son, don't smoke that. Next thing you know, I'm trying that. Son, don't drink that. Next thing you know, I'm trying that. I was a fool.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it. All my friends thought I was cool. But I was a fool. I'm going to tell you about a guy named William Hunt. He was born here in Ireland. His dad was an old Ulster volunteer. And his dad died in 1916, so that dates the story a little bit. But he died in battle. And it took like 4 years for Willie's mom to be able to receive any kind of pension from him. And Willie was a part of a family that had 17 kids. So they were really poor. I mean, bad news poor. But the cool thing about it is mom made him all commit at 10 o'clock every night. And at 10 o'clock every night, they sat around and had prayer. The older kids could go back out. I mean, the older, much older than Willie. Willie was a young child. And, they'd go back out and play for a little while, but he had to go to bed and that kind of thing. But his mother used to pray that God would someday save his soul and make him a man of God, make him a great man. Well, just to give you the story, he became the black sheep of the family. At 15 years old, he had his first drink of alcohol. Two of his mates took him into a pub and they served him. You know what? There's kids here. I don't know about this room, but there are guys. Some of these guys are pretty big. You can probably walk into a pub. Used to be. Now they're cracking down. I thank God a little bit. But before, man, kids were walking in with their folks and with their friends being served alcohol. 15 years old, Willie Munn became, before he was 16, he was a confirmed boozer. He was a drunk. Before he even turned 16, he was so hooked on alcohol, his brothers started to hate him. Nobody liked him. And it was only his mother was the only one who ever really stuck up for Willie. When he was 16 years old, came home one day, was talking to his mom, and she had a seizure. He grabbed her, and his mother died right in his arms. 16 years old. What a knock. And you would think it would have just driven him to God and say, oh, Lord, you know, you think all the things that happened to Solomon just drove him to God and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've been running around with all these women and doing all this stuff. You're thinking just here, massive repentance. Willie was blinded by alcohol. He was messed up. Well, when his mother died like that, he lost the best friend that he ever had because his mom was the only one who stuck up for him. And she prayed for him. He knew she loved him. Man, he was going to miss her desperately. And so he vowed he would never drink again. But he was confirmed drunk. 2 hours later, he was so drunk, he was stupid drunk, and he never recovered for, another 17 years. In fact, he got so bad, the alcohol mastered him. Since I've been here in Ireland, I have a few mates we work with at church now who are heroin mastered them. I'll tell you something. There's a guy in the school in our church. I met the first person that professed Christ back in 2001. He was in the kitchen one day shooting up heroin. His brother walked in and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just having a little fun, you know." Well, we tried it, and then he turned his own brother into a heroin addict who this year has tried to kill himself 3 times. I happened to walk in the bathroom one day after him, and I found he had just took so many pills, like 40 of them, that he was going to be dead if somebody didn't call the ambulance for the guy. So he spared his life 3 times. Now, thank God, he stopped taking all these crazy drugs, and he's on the road recovering. But he needs to get saved. He's not saved. Well, Willie, that his mom would die like that, and really just, well, it would shake any one of us up, wouldn't it? If your mom and dad suddenly died, what would you do? So what he did was, he grew a beard, got all mad. In fact, his brothers wouldn't take him in. When his mama died, his brother said, "You're a drunk and a wasted life. You don't even want anything to do with you. Get out. Get out of the street." So he did. He went on the street. He never returned home for 3.5 years. All the money that he ever got or stole went to buy booze for some sex and drugs and rock and roll. Willie just bought booze. It drove him deeper and deeper. He grew a big old long beard. Walked barefoot up in Northern Ireland, folks, right here in this land. It's a story about a guy on the island not that long ago. But it was just like Pastor said, man, some of you kids, statistically, a few years, you'll try something. You know what? Weirdest thing, a friend can get you to do something that you would never do. And we'll hear more about that when you hear a little bit about Anna and all that. But it's something to have a brother. Anna, who was a loser, but God has, you know, helped his friend do sin. And a friend will try to get you and will get you to do something you would never think of doing yourself. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
They can talk to you, to like, let a stranger come walking up to you and say, "Here, buy this up, take it, it'll turn you. Your eyeballs will freak all out and you'll lose all your hair and you'll try to kill people and you'll try to kill yourself and you'll smash your car and you'll be addicted for life." And you would say, "Get out of here. Call 999. Get the guy out of here. He's a crazy man." But if a friend came and said, "Man, this is the coolest stuff since sliced bread. Eat it and you'll see pretty things. And oh man, the girls are all running after you and you're going to see it. And the guys are all..." They'll talk you into it. A friend can get you to do something you've never done yourself. So watch out for your friends. Well, anyways, we're talking about godly life. This guy's life was a mess. Anyways, he had got to get this tumble-down house that was given to him. It became the biggest den of iniquity in Northern Ireland. They started gambling. What's the big popular gambling thing going on today, folks? Anybody know?
Poker.
Yeah, poker. What is it?
And,
Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
It's famous. People are doing it all, but not everybody's doing it. I'm not doing it.
Amen.
But they're gambling. These guys start gambling you and texting home five card stud and all the weird poker games. And they were, and all the money everyone went to buy booze. They've gotten this vicious cycle. He'd get drunk, and then he had to have money, so he'd go steal something, pay off his habit. And they were gambling. They'd stay up all night smoking big cigars and laughing it up and having a good old time. So was Solomon. Weird, isn't it? And he was a believer. Willie wasn't. A believer shouldn't be acting like that. Solomon was a believer acting like that. That is a sick thing, isn't it? But there's people in the show, I believe, who profess the name of Jesus Christ, who struggle with sin this very day because a friend has got them doing something they shouldn't be doing. Introduce them to something they shouldn't be looking at. Introduce them to something they shouldn't have been smoking or drinking or tasting. And there's cell phones. Some of you boys and girls in here with cell phones, watch out. Because those little things, if they receive pictures, can really hurt you. I have a friend who was telling me something about it, and I said, "I knew it was going to happen. You got to check your friends, watch your friends, because a friend can get you to do things you can never do yourself. And don't let your cell phone become too much of a little friend either. Don't let it control you." But some of you people in here have been controlled by the cell phone. I heard. Well, anyways, Willie, scary health was all. His friends were all losers. Oh, that's really typically what happens when you don't live a godly life. You get to hang around with losers. And but he was partying, gambling all one night, and somebody had stuck a invitation to come to a Baptist tent meeting, and he got that invitation that day. Later on that night, they were all partying, gambling. He stumbled out of the house about 5 o'clock in the morning. He had read that invitation to come to the Baptist church. They were going to have a revival meeting up there. When he stumbled out in the street, he happened to notice a man walking to work, one of the bakers or whatever, and he noticed it was one of the street preachers in town,
went up to the guy, he said, I see you put one of these things in my door. He said, I'm going to go down to your meeting room. I'm coming down to that meeting. He was all, he started feeling like God, he needed God. And the guy was totally amazed. You're going to come to one of those meetings? He said, yeah. He was lying, but he told me he was going to. He figured, just be nice to the guy. Well, the guy said, hey, well, if you're serious about coming out of a meeting, he said, I'll come up for you and go down with it and I'll sit with you. And then Willie was amazed. I felt like I had to go. He ended up going. And that night, turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 6, would you? Revelation 6 and verse 15. I forgot to put it in the PowerPoint thing, so I went, hey, turn there. Revelation chapter 6. This is what the guy preached. Revelation chapter 6. And verse 15. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. This one says, this is a tribulation time, the end of the time. We're very close to it, by the way, I believe. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And when he heard that testimony that night, preacher preached on it, and he thought the guy was a fool. A crazy talking about rocks falling on him and hiding himself from it. Walked on, got drunk. Got together with his mates, they decided they were going to rip off this place, so he was out in this field scoping out a next job. When the Spirit of God brought back that word to his mind, and he said, what about that judgment day? Folks, and Willie's like, what was that? But the Spirit of God he didn't speak audibly to him, he heard it in his soul. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and mouth. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God is going to get right where it needs to be. The Spirit of God can get right where it needs to be, and God willing, and he began to think. He dismissed it, started still thinking about how he was going to lay out the word and rip these people off that night. And the Spirit of God said, are you going to be able to stand on that judgment? And really was just convicted. He could do nothing further. He knew it was God. He knew he was a wretched sinner. He'd been lying. He'd been stealing. He'd been gambling. He'd been boozing it up. He was a mess. And he knew he needed to grab God. He knew God was after him. And he knew he never stood a chance to stand. His name had never been changed. He never had that new name. He knew it. He knew he wasn't God's. And with hat in hand, he humbled himself and said, Lord God Almighty, forgive me my sin. Come on, my life right now. Save my soul. And you know what God did? He did. Yeah. He came right in his life to save his soul, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Not lying. You get honest with God, and he will. But forgive your sin. Cleanse you from all your unrighteousness.
Amen.
Give you eternal life. Give you a brand new name. Write your name down in glory. Your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. It'll be there. And when the judgment comes, you're not even going to be crying about these people, because you won't be there. You'll escape the wrath that's going to come. Willie was so excited, man. He went, got off that field, went down and met the first man he told. Met. He told him, 5 minutes ago, I just accepted Jesus as my Savior. And the guy thought he was nuts, and he walked away. But the next guy Willie met, a few minutes later, he couldn't help it. He walked and said, Fuck. A little while ago, up there in that field, right in that field, right over there, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the man said, you accept Jesus as your Savior? He said, I did. And the man began to cry. He was a brother, one of them out there in Northern Ireland. And he said, son, that was the wisest thing you've ever done.
Amen.
And now God's given you a new name. You wrote your name down in glory. You got a brand new name. Just like something like that. But you know what? Every child on planet Earth, when they're born under a curse. You gotta get saved. You gotta trust the Lord as your Savior.
Because Romans 3:22 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's how I know that Solomon got that new name. Solomon was born, he was a sinner. He was born a sinner. You ask Brother Mark, these little babies back there, you know what? They can act like little sinners too. They want their way just like big sinners.
Right.
And they got to get saved one of these days. Those babies got to get saved. We'll dig them. I don't want to talk about that, but he was born again. What he wants. God saved him. So, so many people at this camp this week, God is going to, the Word of God is going to come, Brother Leonard's going to be speaking, the one of the girls is going to be teaching, and the Spirit of God is going to speak to your conscience. He's going to say, "What about you?" And that's you. You need that. One of these days, folks, no matter who you are in this room, you are going to meet God.
Amen.
Every one of us will meet Him. If your name, is in the Lamb's Book of Life, well, you'll have everlasting life. You'll live with Him forever. If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, well, then you cannot live with Him forever. You will perish. And so part of the camp is not just to help you become a fool for Christ. It's, first of all, you need to get saved.
Amen.
You must be born again. You can never see the kingdom of God. You'll never meet this guy, Solomon. You know what? The truth of the matter is, if a believer falls into sin, as the pastor mentioned this morning, a righteous man gets back up. Seven times. He's ongoing. But if you don't even, you're not even in the race. Solomon was born into a pretty rough family. Brother raped his sister. Another brother was trying to overthrow his father's kingdom. Dad proved to be an adulterer. He was born as a result of that. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to think about. Some of us in this room, maybe you were born, you know, you were born into a family, like Solomon, his dad, David, King David, wrote the Psalms. And he wasn't all bad. Dad was to be very old. And you read the Psalms, and they're glorious. And we've got, he was used by God mightily. And Solomon, as we know, was brought into a kingdom. And things were nice for him for a really long time. He ran well. He did run for a long time. Ran very well. Glorified God. Until he began to leave off true wisdom and start following the ways of the world. He was deceived by the girls around him. He took them. And the girls, the Bible says, they turned his heart away from God.
That's right.
And so young men, some of you Christian men in here, don't get turned around. Follow hard after God. Tonight, I want to ask you to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Today. Why not today? Why not today? Wouldn't it be cool if you were here tonight and you don't know the Lord and you've been like struggling saying, "What is all this stuff about the Bible and Jesus and all this? And what is really going on here?" You really don't know? Today, wouldn't it be great if you could finish the end of this camp with a brand new name and go not just home, but on your journey with a brand new name. So tonight, I'd like you to ask for wisdom, just like Solomon and Willie. Call up the name, call up the Lord. Turn from the wisdom of this world. And you know what? God will make your life a miracle. We're talking about the miracle of a godly life. You can't even start to have a godly life until you get saved. And so I'm going to ask you tonight, if you are already saved, and just like Solomon, you've been running around the world, you've been getting all messed up, your thoughts are going the wrong way, your friends are going the wrong way, your cell phone has got you going the wrong way, your games, your Xbox games and all the stuff, it's got you going the wrong way, and you need to get right with God. I'm going to ask you tonight to do that. Tonight. And won't the rest of this camp be wonderful? And won't the rest of your life be wonderful?
Amen.
And if you're here tonight, you don't even know what, I'm going to ask you tonight.
Amen.
To humble yourself before Almighty God, who you're going to stand before anyways one of these days. But if you bow your knee here on earth, well, you would live forever. If you wake to glory, and then you bow your knee before Him, just out of sheer awe, you will bow your knee. The Bible says every knee will bow. I'm telling you, when you see God, you are going to fall right on your face.
this year's about. Everybody, you have to break your legs. You're going to break. He's not going to break anybody's legs. You will just humble yourself right now. Baby. But it'll be too late. This very night, I want to ask you to turn from your sin to the Savior. Let's go to prayer. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to ask Satan, Brother Carol, would you pray for me? God is, just bow your head. Hold your eyes. All right. Will you pray for me that God would work this night in my life? I'm struggling. I need God. I'm just going to pray for you. I want you to pray for me tonight. God would give me the wisdom I need to know the decision I need to make. He would help me make that decision. Anybody here tonight, you know, God has worked on you. Just keep your eyes open. I'm just asking you, raise your hand if you want me to pray for you. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. Just, if you want God, you want me to pray for you tonight. God's worked in your life somehow. Already, from all the preaching that's been taught already, and you say, Brother Carol, would you just pray for me that God would help me get my life right tonight. Anybody like that at all here? All right, praise the Lord. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you too, man. I'll pray for you too. I'll pray for you too. You too. Amen. All right, amen. Praise God. All of us. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and ask God tonight to work on your heart. Heavenly Father, you saw hands being lifted up. There's a lot of people here that are just going to get honest with you tonight. Some people here that have been struggling with God have a really rough life. Things have been bad. And some of them just forgot about you, just cast you off because they don't see any hope. Some are just here because they were, someone told them to come. But I pray, God, tonight, and they cry out to you for wisdom, what to do, the decision to make. If they call out to you, that you would hear their prayer. If they cry out to you tonight for salvation, that you would instantly impart to their soul eternal forgiveness. And tonight, for those who are crying out to you, God, that you would help them overcome some sin, some bondage they've got into. I pray tonight, God, that you hear their prayer. And they will be set free this very evening. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.